Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the golden path of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it might feel counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, also known as the Practical Alchemist, and it's lovely to have you with me today, the start of a new year. How are you feeling about it? I'm very positive about it myself, I have to say. I think we're in for a good 2025, at least I hope so. That's not to say that I don't expect any fewer challenges this year, but I do believe that I get better and better at dealing with them. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? January, though, is a month when all many of us want to do is hibernate, fall in with the natural cycle of things. I still like to go out for long walks and swims, of course, and do a bit of foraging. And if you're wondering what there is to forage in the depths of winter, then stand by and get ready to have your eyes opened. Now, this is a good time to gather dandelion. You may well find some young green leaves, but the roots are worth digging up at this time of year, and it can help you get on top of the weeding in the garden too. The roots are pretty tasty. Cook them like any root vegetable, peel them or just scrub them as you would a parsnip or a carrot, and add them to soups and stews. It's really up to you. Or you can dry the roots and make a tea, or you can roast them to make a kind of coffee. Dandelions are much maligned by gardeners, but the plant really is a health hero with a host of benefits, including anti-inflammatory properties. It's also used in herbal medicine for liver and gallbladder issues, so mixing a few leaves with lettuce and salad greens is a great way to boost your diet. The roots are also a great source of inulin, which is a really important prebiotic fibre that's hugely important for gut health. Another root that's worth gathering at this time of year is horseradish. Now, here in the UK, we mainly know horseradish as a condiment to go with roast beef as an alternative to mustard, because it's very pungent and hot. I love it. But horseradish is also a great addition to any kitchen or herb garden, but it can take over, so find a spot where it won't crowd out the other plants. I used to have to dig mine up regularly to make sure it didn't spread too far. In the wild, you'll find it mainly in England here in the UK, on waste ground, railway cuttings, roadside verges and along hedgerows, that kind of thing. It's best eaten raw, and you would grate it, and some people add things like some kind of cream or something to create a horseradish relish, but again, that's up to you. And it has a number of health benefits, including helping to reduce inflammation again. Now, mushrooms are a great immune booster, as we have talked about many times on this show, and at this time of year, you can find quite a few. One that's relatively easy to identify is turkey tail, which looks very much like its name. It's a small, tough fungus that grows in tiers like a fan of tail feathers on dead wood, mainly hardwood like oak, for instance. Now, you'll find it on rotting stumps and branches, and it's quite common throughout the UK. Really packs a punch as an immune booster, alongside many other health benefits too. It's not the type of mushroom that you'd add to a stir fry or breakfast plate, though. It is edible, but it's pretty chewy, so it's usually made into a tincture or a tea. And of course, just before I go on, do make sure that you have properly identified whatever you're foraging for. Make sure that you know that you have the right plant and that you know what to do with it. Google is your friend. But also there are many great herbals out there and books on medicinal mushrooms that you can use to help you. Now, these are just some of the plants that we can gather to boost our diet and health this January. For me, though, getting out into the countryside and foraging is almost a meditative experience. Some of us might find that valuable if we've had a stressful festive period, which I'm sure some of us have. But of course, there are other ways to start the year mindfully, which my guest today will tell you all about. Isabella Strambio is a macrame artist. A what artist? Yes, a macrame artist. And she's inviting us all to unwind through knotting. She teaches macrame, helping creative women to reconnect with their creativity by using this art form, as well as helping women develop their creative businesses, which is great. Isabella's also the author of a new book called Mindful Macrame. And to mark the publication, she's running a week-long event from the 6th to the 10th of January. More about that to come. Now, she says she's seen the positive effects this craft has had on so many women. It's given confidence, creativity, identity, purpose and joy, as well as helping with mental health, general health, isolation. It's generally seen as a good thing. So I was delighted to get the chance to explore her work with her. But first, I thought that we'd better properly explain what macrame is for those who are unfamiliar with it. Here's Isabella.
Yeah, so for the people that don't know macrame, and to be honest, I didn't know what macrame was until 2016. So there's loads of people that actually don't know what macrame is. But it's the art of knotting. So the idea is that we use strings or yarn, and we use knots to create patterns. And with these patterns, we can create anything from homeware to clothing, jewelry, and decorations. So that's in essence what it is.
Yeah. And you can do extraordinary things with macrame, can't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very versatile. And that's one of the reasons why I love this craft, is that it's so versatile. And now these days, you know, we call it modern macrame because we have so many new type of yarns and strings and cords that we can use compared to the 60s and the 70s that was mainly jute and it was like quite rough and brown. These days we can use colorful strings, like different thickness, made out of bamboo, recycled cotton. And so this gives anyone the opportunity to express their style and their style and their liking in colors. And you know, if some people prefer more like the boho vibe, so all the whites and off whites, and other people love colors, and so they will use colorful strings. And the same piece of, just say, even a macrame bag in white or in red, it has a completely different effect and style. And that's, I think, one of the beauty about macrame.
Yes, and you have something hanging behind you, which is presumably something which is very white or beige. Yeah. So it's that kind of vibe. And yes, I remember when I was younger, the 70s macrame thing was very hippie-ish, it was very jute, it was very natural. It was very, I guess today we would say boho, but in those days it was just, you know, it was just kind of 70s hippie vibe there.
Yeah.
And everybody had a hanging basket holder that was made out of macrame. But you can do so much more with it. And so I want you to just go into that a little bit more. So colors, and you say string, but can you do it with very fine thread even?
Yeah, so you can do it with very fine thread, and it's called micro macrame, and people will do like very detailed jewelry, earrings. Usually micro macrame is for jewelry, and it's absolutely beautiful, the patterns that you can create, and you can introduce beads, stones, gems. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And silk. Yeah. I think with micro macrame, you can also use silk thread, so...
So, which would be extraordinary. I'm not sure I've seen anything done with silk thread, but I've seen other small, yes, you're right, jewelry pieces, you know, earrings and things like that. Yeah, made with macrame. So it's a very versatile, do you call it a craft or an art? I see that you call yourself a macrame artist.
Yes, I think it's an art, but I'll say craft because it can be a craft. So anyone can do it. And it depends on which way you take it, more arty or more like as a craft and as a hobby. So it's really up to you, to people, which way they want to go.
Brilliant. And so it's actually probably quite an easy way for people to express their creativity.
Very easy. And I think that's one of the things that people are, I think, surprised when they come to macrame workshops that I run, or when they use my book to create some of the pieces, that actually doesn't take that long to have a finished piece. And so for people, especially these days where they don't have much time to be creative, to spend 1 hour, 1.5 hour doing something with their hands and have a tangible piece at the end, it's something quite rare. And so that's personal satisfaction. It's a big thing. And I think that's one of the things that people love and say, oh, actually, I just made this whole plant hanger in 1 hour and a half, and now I can hang it in my home and I can see it every day. And compared to perhaps some other crafts like knitting, where it might take a couple of days before you finish a jumper, or maybe weeks if it's my case,
I
I'm
was going
very
to say even
slow knitter.
weeks.
Yeah. And so sometimes then people feel discouraged. Okay, especially these days with social media, we kind of want that kind of quick gratification or having something finished. And I think macrame combines the being creative, doing something with your hand, something that is mindful, that doesn't take that long.
Yeah. Now, talking of mindful, it takes us on to talk about your latest book, Mindful Macrame.
Yes.
And when I saw the title, I thought, yeah, let's talk about this because I like embroidery. I love tapestry. I find it almost a meditation. And so when I saw Mindful Macrame, I thought, yeah, so I get it. And so this is something which is really important, isn't it? You talk about journaling, and so tell us about the concept of mindful macrame, because some people might think that's a bit weird, but I don't, because I get it.
Yeah, I think if you do a craft of any type of art, you will get it, because when you're creative, you go into that creative flow. And the beautiful thing with macrame and the way I've structured the book is that all the projects usually use only a couple of knots, some of them maybe just one type of knot. And the idea is once you've learned the knot, it becomes repetitive because you created
Yeah.
something using the same knot over and over again. And that repetitiveness kind of helps your mind to kind of relax. And on top of that, I wanted to combine the two tools that I personally find it very useful to find mindfulness and meditate. And one is breath work to kind of ground myself, and then journaling. So the book is divided in three sections. There's some project that takes less than half an hour, less than 1 hour, and then some that takes more than 1 hour. And again, the idea is anyone can pick up the book, see how much time they have that day or that week, and they can create something. So they can find mindfulness using their creativity and using their hand, create something beautiful for themselves or their home. And then combined with the creativity, they can also do the journaling or the breath work. They can do it in any order they want. And that gives them a book where they can, take whatever they need that day or that week. Do I feel just journaling today? Open it up, get a prompt, journal, the space to write. Or perhaps, you only have 2 minutes and you're just going to do some breath work, ground yourself, come back to the book one day later and perhaps do one of the projects. So I wanted to basically put what has helped me find mindfulness and find space to get into that creative flow in one book.
I think that's fantastic. Now, though, however, let me just say you would need to have the equipment and the tool. I mean, you don't need tools as such, do you? Or do you for macrame?
Not very, you will need scissors, a measuring tape, there's not many tools. And And I kept it as simple and in a way as basic, because I want anyone that perhaps hasn't even had any craft. You know, if you've done embroidery or tapestry, you kind of have a sense. You know, you'd probably be much quicker. But I want anyone to pick up the book that perhaps haven't done anything for years, you know, to say, okay, well, actually, this doesn't look that complicated. It's just one knot. Let me give it a go. So that was the idea, to keep especially the first part, the project under 30 minutes, very, very simple. So anyone can do it. I mean, you can do it even with your kids. They are very, very simple on purpose. So you can do it on the train, in the car while you're waiting for your kids to come out of school.
That sounds great. And so what kind of materials would you use? I mean, so we talked about the tools to do those projects that are in the book. What kind of materials would you
You
need?
can use string, and that could be specific macrame string that you can buy, you know, a hobby craft. You know, you can use wool. In one of the projects, I use you know, string that comes around the vegetable boxes that you get home and they wrap with strings. I kept it and I used some of that string. It could be cooking string, you know, the string that you have in your
Oh, wow,
drawer.
yeah.
It could be anything, and that is the idea. I wanted to make it as approachable, as simple, as easy for people to try. And you know, you can do it with the string you have at home, and then say, well, actually, the next one I want to do it with pink string. And then you might go and purchase the string. But to do it the first time, you can do with anything you have around home. Just see the benefit, have fun, make something, and then decide if you want to go and yeah, perhaps, you know, purchase something really special to remake that project.
Sounds good to me, and we'll hear more about the materials we can all use in a moment. But first, it's time to take a short break. I'll be back with Isabella Strambio right after these messages, so stay with us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, macrame artist and author, Isabella Strambio. Before the break, we were talking about how easy it is to start doing macrame with pretty much anything that you have around the house. And of course, my mind immediately started to think of the lovely green garden twine I use with my plants. Not a daft idea, as it turns out.
Yeah, garden twine. Exactly.
Yeah, that's really kind of getting my imagination going. I can imagine doing something with that. So it's then that idea of just sitting quietly and just allowing your creativity to flow. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
And for your mind to go quiet, because we're always on the go and thinking, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? And but you know, to find, even if it's half an hour, where all you focus on is what you have in front of you, you know, and be totally in the moment, then your mind just quiet. And you know, you never know. There's other I think you give them space for other thoughts to come into your mind. And one of the things that I always say to my student is, when I do macrame, I will have a notebook next to me. Because when I go into that creative flow, then so many other ideas pop into my head, or thoughts. You know, it's not always creative. Maybe it's other thoughts, but it's just finding the time to go quiet so you can actually listen to other things that go on in your head.
Yeah, I'm a great believer in allowing that to happen. Absolutely. And of course, then this lowers our stress, and so it's really good for our well-being.
100%, 100%.
I mean, have you found that it's made a particular impact on your own health and well-being?
Yes, you know, in my previous career, I was interior designer, working full time, coming home, small kids, living in London. It was crazy, you know. And sometimes you don't realize until later on, you know, when you enjoy the quiet and you look back and it's like, how did I do it? You know? And so it's just stepping away to realize actually how busy your life is, you know, how full on and how much your body and your mind actually need to rest and to slow down and to pause.
Yeah. So did you create macrame pieces for your interior design clients?
No, that came later on. So the way it began, my macrame journey is that I was working full time, you know, being busy in London with small kids, and even though I was in a creative field, it wasn't creative the last few years of my career, and that's when I wanted a creative outlet for myself. So that was something that I was craving, and but again, I wasn't doing anything creative outside my work, and I didn't know what I really liked it. You know, I've saved thousands of pins on Pinterest of things that I've, you know, one day I will make, and so I decided to start a personal journey that then turned into a blog and my Instagram that was learning 12 crafts in 12 months. And the idea is that every month I will learn something, a new craft, and try it out and see if I liked it. And I thought by the end of the 12 months, maybe you know, I found my new hobby. Macrame was my first craft,
And you didn't
believe
do
it or
any
not.
more.
And but I end up doing all the 12.
Oh, okay.
But what happened is within 6 months after I learned macrame, people start asking me to teach macrame. And then I start doing workshops on the side. And that's kind of how the hobby slowly then turned into a side business. And then when we moved from London to Hampshire, I decided to stop my career as interior designer and just go 100% of my time on macrame and grow it as a business.
Right. And so, and actually, in moving your physical location, you were probably in a much less frenetic environment. And so you could maybe slow down and
Yeah,
focus on
one,
that.
yeah. And also was a choice that I wanted for us as a family, spend more time with the girls, be more present. So it was something, you know, it was a risk, but it felt the right time and the right moment, and yeah, it worked out well. So,
Yeah, and now you're in Sweden.
and
So,
now we're in Sweden.
and funnily enough, I always kind of think of macrame as being still quite a Nordic kind of thing. It isn't, but you know, I kind of equate the two.
Yeah, lots of people. I think it's got that kind of. Yes, Scandi vibe,
Yeah,
definitely.
it has. It
Yeah.
has. Yeah, so you're going to fit right in there.
Yeah.
But having created this business for yourself, so you now teach people how to do
Yeah.
macrame, you have workshops, and we should just say that your book is out on the, what
Tenth
date
of
is the
January.
10th of January, yeah, and that you are running a macrame experience online for
Yeah.
people. So tell me a little bit about that.
So, what I thought it would be great is for people that perhaps don't know macrame or they don't feel maybe that confident to you know, with the mindfulness side, or they just want to try. Perhaps it's something that they want to introduce for 2025 to you know, to have more mindfulness. I thought, why not create a free experience that people can join? And it's structured very similar to the book. So the idea is that for 5 days in a row, you will receive an email from me. And in there, you will have three mindful exercises. And one exercise will take you just 1 minute. One will take 5 minutes and one will take 50 minutes. And then it's up to you if you want to just do one, two, or all of them. And on the last day, it ends on the 10th of January when my book gets published, and we're going to have a virtual book launch and people can join live. It's going to be on Zoom. I will talk a little bit more about my book. People can ask questions. There's going to be prizes, and we're just going to make it, a big celebration. And also to celebrate the people that have taken the courage of they have committed to the Mindful Macrame experience, and to celebrate the fact that they stick with it for 5 days and they've managed to find at least 1 minute a day to kind of ground themselves and find mindfulness.
I think that's great. What a great way to start the new year.
Yes, exactly. That's
Yeah.
what I thought. And kids are back to school, so I am positive that people can find at least 1 minute out of 24 hours for themselves, and that could be just the first step. Maybe the first day is 1 minute, the next day is five, and then hopefully by the end it will be 15.
Yeah, I think that's great. Baby steps.
Baby
And
step, 100%.
yeah, and if people can't find 1 minute in the day, no matter how busy they are, I wonder what they are really doing. Because, please, we can all find 1 minute, surely. Do you
And you're
think?
doing it for yourself, and I think that's very important. It's that kind of self-love and say, okay, I am doing it for me, for my own
Exactly.
well-being. And that's, I think, is very, very important, especially for women, to prioritize ourselves. So key.
Exactly. And I can't let you go without talking a little bit more about how you support women, particularly women who have creative businesses. So, having started your own creative business, helping out, I love hearing stories like this, how people have started to do something themselves and then they think, oh, I need to help other people do this because it's great. So, tell us about that.
Well, when I transitioned and then started my macrame business, there was no one literally that could help me, because most of the business coaches is for people that are into not in the creative field. So I
I
kind
hear
of
you.
had to figure it out all myself, which has been a journey. And then in 2020, when macrame literally boomed because loads of people were at home, loads of people learned macrame. And then from there, some of the women contacted me and said, well, people asked me to sell some of the pieces. I would like to attend some of the markets once all the restriction ended. And that's kind of gave me the idea of helping other women, and find shortcuts so they don't have to do the same mistake I've done. And also give them advice and what to focus on, because when you go online, it's just so much. You get so overwhelmed of all the things that you could do. And so the idea of the Hello Creatives Academy, which is the membership I run, is that where we focus just on one topic a month, and we understand it, we put it into the business, see the results, and then the next month we'll work on something else. So again, similar, to those baby steps. So take away the overwhelm, but do something practical that can help your hobby turn into a business, or when you have a business, to go from just selling at the market, how can we make it more profitable? How can we make it more consistent? And just, then just grow from there.
I think that's a really good service. And I know a lot of people who are artists, for instance, who make jewelry, that sort of thing. And well, I used to make jewelry myself, not so much these days. I don't have a workshop here, but it's very difficult to make that transition from just making something as a hobby or painting as a hobby. And then selling it, because you don't know how much you're supposed to charge, and you just and I have a friend, and if she ever watches or listens to this, she had a couple of paintings in an exhibition locally the other week, and I said to her, you need to put your prices up because you're good, you are good. For me, the quality of the artwork is what you're paying for. But she had it in her head, oh yeah, but I'm not known.
It's very common. It is very common. And I think especially for women, we always put ourselves down, say, oh, someone is better than me, or I haven't done it for long, Oh, I've never sold anything, but doesn't mean that your piece is not good and you shouldn't trade
Exactly,
what it's
exactly.
worth.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. So I said, well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether anybody knows you. I don't know half of the people whose work is on the wall here, right?
Exactly.
I don't buy because I know who they are. I
Yeah,
buy because I'm drawn to the piece.
exactly. And I
Yeah.
think especially with art, or if it's like for jewelry, it's there is that emotional connection that, you know, it draws you to that piece, and that's why you then decide to buy it.
You know, it's so important to overcome these hurdles in life, not just in business. That self-worth, it's truly worth cultivating. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But first, it's time to take another short break. Stay with us for more mindfulness right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And this is Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today is Isabella Strambio, macrame artist, teacher, and creative business coach. We were talking about an artist's worth before the break, and it occurred to me that it's important to work on this not just for the bank balance, but for well-being too. When we do ourselves down, when we put ourselves down, that impacts our well-being as well. It's something that if we can push through, not even push through, but overcome somehow and learn how to not go into that space of, yeah, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. You are good enough. And what you create is as valuable as the next person, right? And yes, okay, in the art world, you know, people with a big name can charge lots and lots of money. I get it. But, you know, at the level we're talking about, it's, you know, you're as worth it as anybody else, aren't you? And it's great to learn that self-worth.
100%, you know, and you know, I was talking about your friend, the majority of people can't afford to buy the expensive piece with the name. You know, they just want some beautiful art piece in their home, you know, that they can connect with. And that's what we want. And yeah, definitely. And I think then it connects again to the mindfulness and, you know, the meditation is, and I find it myself as well, is, you know, even that commitment to say, I am going to stop and pause and journal or do something creative because that is what I want. It's just that self-worth and that self-love that then helps, you know. It's just the same when I say to the people, the members, you know, that I coach is you need to love yourself because then you're going to love your pieces and then you realize, you know, how much worth and I think it's all connected.
I love that. I hadn't really thought about it in quite those terms before. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your pieces. That's an interesting correlation. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. So self-love and mindfulness, incredibly important when we're talking about creating something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you also then, you help people put a price on their work, that sort of
I
thing? Do you go through
help
that?
them, I help them with, you know, the formula of what they can use to price their artwork. And also, you know, it depends also in which country you come from. You know, US is slightly different than UK, but it's a general formula. And the fact is that no matter who comes into the membership or does the how to price your product course, I always say the first thing you have to do is just increase the price by 10%, because for sure, even if you increase by 10%, you're still lower than what you should charge. But it's sometimes, again, people have to do baby steps. You know, it's building that confidence. You know, it's increasing by 10% and see that they can still sell it and say, okay, I'm on the right track. And it might take, a few months or a few tries. But even that 10%, it's a huge thing. It's saying, okay, I am worth that. And another thing that I say when people say, yeah, but how much should I charge per hour? I say, well, how much do you pay your cleaner or, the babysitter? If you're paying less, if you're paying yourself less than that, then you're doing something
Yeah,
wrong.
let's just revisit that.
Yeah, because not everyone can make paint like you. Not everyone can macrame. Not everyone can make jewelry. For us, it comes easy and we love it because it's our passion. But not everyone can do that, and so you have to pay yourself the time. How much you're worth, and that again, it comes with self-love and self-worth. Okay, how much does my time is worth? Because even if you do it because you love it, you still should be paid for it.
And I did work with somebody many years ago who is very well known talking about values and talking about, what value do you put on yourself. And it is, now that I think about it, although he didn't put it that way, it is that thing about how much you value yourself and your time. Because no matter what you're doing, also, time and if you've trained to do something, how much is that training cost you in time and money? And what you think you're not gonna, you're not allowed to get that back somehow to recoup that. Yeah, all of those things need to come into it, don't they? And you're right, it is all about self-love. Self-love, and then just going inside and doing this mindful activity, which I mean I love, because we are all creative, aren't we?
Yes, 100%, totally agree. Everyone, even the people that think they're not creative, they are.
And with macrame, with knotting, as it kind of basically is, I guess it is an easy way, or an easier way, to unleash that creativity, because you can make something very simple, but you've actually created something. The clue's in the word. You have created something which is either decorative or useful.
100%. And in the mindful macrame experience, that is what I want to show. That it could take less than 50 minutes and you've made something. And I just want people to experience it, because sometimes you just have to experience it to see the benefits. And that's the idea.
Brilliant. So yes, I said before we started recording this that you were doing a workshop or something. You said no, it's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience, yeah.
And I think that's great, because we do need the experience. We don't need to be sort of talked at or coached all the time, but just to experience something, to feel into something, I think is a great idea. So tell us again. So that starts when? On
That
the.
starts on the 6th of January, and you can go on my website, isabellastrambio.com. It's on the main page. Otherwise, if you want to go directly there, slash mindful macrame book, and you get the page, you can sign in, and then you will receive my emails.
Fantastic. And now, if people miss the start date, can they do it later?
Yes, they can join, and they will start later, but they can still be part of the experience. Yes,
Well,
100%.
I think that sounds fantastic. Sounds like a wonderful way to start off the new year, doing something mindful, creative, and just allowing your true self to be expressed through knots.
The art of knotting. Why not?
Why not? Exactly.
Why not?
Fantastic. Well, Isabella, thank you so much for joining me today. That's been fantastic. I've loved
Thank
hearing
you for
about
having
your.
me.
You're welcome. I've loved hearing about your journey and hearing more about macrame. And who knew that it would be coming back with such a great force in 2025 now?
Yes.
The 2020s. Things always come around, don't they? Things
Yes. Yeah. But
disappear and
I
they come
honestly
back.
believe it's gonna stay.
Do you?
It's birthday. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, well, maybe it's been given a little bit of an uplift. Maybe it's been given a bit of a do-over, and
Yes.
yeah, it's going to be around for some time to come. But thank you very much for helping people get into it, and thank you
Thank
very much
you.
for all the work you do supporting women who
Yes.
are creating creative businesses. Isabella, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Isabella Strambio there, helping women one knot at a time. IsabellaStrambio.com is the website, Mindful Macrame is the book, and Unwinding Through Allowing Your Creativity to Shine is the name of the game. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I enjoy the meditative aspect of needlework, but I don't always make the time to sit down and create in that way. Sometimes I just don't want to make stuff with my hands. But there are other very simple ways of practicing mindfulness, and they don't have to take up much time. I've talked before about how effective it can be to just sit in silence for a few minutes. Notice how you feel. Notice what thoughts come up. All you have to do is allow your thoughts and feelings to come to the surface. Make no judgment. Just let it pass through. Let it go. Notice any noises around you, but again, let that noise wash over you without disturbing you. If you make this a regular practice, you'll find it easier and easier to allow your thoughts and feelings to emerge, then to notice them and let them go. It's important to acknowledge them, because suppressing them or just ignoring them builds up stress within the body, and it takes up a lot of energy too. Think of a beach ball. You can push it down under the water, but it takes some effort, and eventually you have to let it go. At that point, it can bounce up like a rocket and knock you off your feet if you're not careful. And so it is with feelings and emotions. The more you suppress them, the harder they hit when they emerge. Another one of my favorite mindfulness techniques is to go for a walk and actively tune into the living world around me. You can do that while you're walking. Notice the plants and the trees around you, even hug one if you want. Imagine yourself as one with nature, merging with it. Even better if you can walk barefoot on the grass or the earth, that really grounds you. Or you can sit down for a few minutes on some grass, a rock, or even a park bench, and close your eyes and let your mind drift as you listen to the bird song around you or the rustling of the leaves in the trees. Whatever there is around you, just tune into the natural sounds. And as you do that, imagine all your tension leaving your body all the way down through the soles of your feet. Let it all pour out of you and let it soak into the earth beneath you. You can do a similar thing if you're a swimmer, especially if you're swimming in a natural body of water. Just for a few minutes, allow yourself to fully relax in the water and imagine all your stress flowing out from your body and being washed away. Imagine yourself as part of that living body of water, connected to all that is through it, and notice how much more refreshed you feel afterwards. But of course, wherever you are, also be mindful of safety. Please make sure that you are only in a safe place and that you do not put yourself in any danger. The water is also very grounding, by the way, something that I feel we all need more and more in this digital age. So these are all examples of what I call everyday mindfulness, small practices that we can incorporate into our daily lives very easily. Small things that can make a huge difference. You might be the kind of person who makes New Year resolutions. You might have made one or two already this year. But maybe You gave up on all of that when you found it impossible to keep track with your stated goals. If that's the case, why not give everyday mindfulness a go? It takes up very little time. There's no need to beat yourself up if you forget, because that just defeats the object after all. And after a while, once you get the hang of it, you just might find it a lot easier to cope with life. My understanding is that we're moving into a year of even more change and challenge, so anything that can help us through is worth trying. So here's to all of us relaxing into those challenges rather than stressing over them. And on that note, we're just about at the end of today's show. If you want to find out more about me, then do check out my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. You'll find some audio and video tracks there that will also help you to keep the stresses at bay. They're short and they won't cost you a penny, so do take a look. You'll also find out all about my coaching and mentoring work, as well as my energy clearing work there. And of course, all the links to my social media channels. I'll be picking up my now regular Monday to Friday upload to YouTube following the festive break. And I'd love you to check out my channel. It's called Alternatively Speaking. And you can subscribe there if you feel motivated to do so. I hope that you do. For now, though, there is only time for me to say thank you for listening, and I look forward to your company throughout 2025. So do join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.